Okay, welcome to the Shir in Sfarno, Parshas Vayelech. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Ronald Feldman, marking the yard site of his mother, Claire Feldman, the Neshama Shel Aben Aliyah, Shesi Moshe Nachas Ruach, the Torah Mitzvahs and Ma'asim Tov, and the entire family are involved in. So we last left off in Parshas Vayelech last year. I just thought I'd get that in. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem, we were Yotzei. So when we had the first installment of the Shir earlier this week, we saw a unique position that the Sfarno has with regard to the mitzvah of Hakel. The mitzvah of Hakel is described in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud. Vayitzav Moshe Osam Leimar. Moshe commanded the Kohanim and the Zekanim as follows. Miked Sheva Shonim, at the end of every 7 years, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos, right, it'll be next year, B'moed Shnas HaShmita, right after the Shemitah year ends, the Sukkot following Shemitah, Tikros HaTorah HaZos Neged Kol Yisrael Ba'oznehem. You should read this entire Torah, or you should read this Torah in the presence of the entire Jewish people. Chazal understand that the one who reads the Sefer Torah is the Melech, is the king, and the Gemara Masechet Sota outlines the various portions of Torah that were read by the king, focused on Sefer Devarim and many of the passages that are there. The Sfarno understands that as opposed to reading the selections from Sefer Devarim from a full Sefer Torah, what the Melech, what the king did, is that he read from a specially designed klaf, a specially designed parchment that contained those parshios and those parshios alone, which he would read at the occasion of Hakel. Again, that's a tremendous chiddush that the Sfarno has. Again, we usually assume that he had a Sefer Torah, but if you think about it, it's not so different than other mitzvahs in the Torah that involve certain specific parshios of Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, the Megillah of Sota comes to mind, where a specific portion of Torah is written out in a separate form, because that's the portion which is going to be used. In conjunction with this idea that the Melech had a special klaf, a special parchment that contained the Parshas HaMelech alone, and not the rest of the Chamishul Chumashe Torah, the Sfarno understands that when the Pasuk says, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Tes, Vayichtov Moshe Satara Hazos, Moshe wrote down this Torah, and he gave this Torah to the Kohanim and to the Zekanim, which is the pasuk which immediately precedes the Torah's discussion of the mitzvah of Hakel. The Torah Hazos, Vayichta Moshe's HaTorah Hazos, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down this Torah, does not refer to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which is the way Rashi understands it, which is the way the Ramban understands it, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah in its entirety. No. The Sfarno says that's not what's being referenced over here. Vayichtov Moshe HaTorah Hazos, Moshe wrote down this Torah, meaning the specific parsha which the Melech would read. He wrote down that special Sefer Torah, or quasi-Sefer Torah, partial Sefer Torah, that klaf, that special parchment, which was read by the Melech, and thus, two psukim later, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, at the occasion of Hakel, Tikra is HaTorah Hazos, Neged Kol Yisrael Ba'oznehem, read this Torah, he's referring not to the full Chamisha Chumashe Torah, he's referring literally to this particular klaf, this particular parchment, which was written specifically for the Melech on the occasion of Hakel. We also saw how the Sfarno says that Moshe Rabbeinu's speaking to the Kohanim and the Zekanim specifically is actually setting the tone for what we're taught in the Mishnayos and Masechta Sota, namely that when the Melech received the Sefer Torah to read from, there was a whole processional where the Sefer Torah was first taken by the Chazan HaKnesses, the one who was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, and then handed off to the assistant Kohen Gadol, then to the Kohen Gadol, then the Kohen Gadol would hand it to the Melech. How did Chazal know that there was this whole series of passing off the Sefer Torah from hand to hand? So the Svarno says it's really implicit in the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk describes how Moshe Rabbeinu gives the mitzvah of Hakel, he presents the mitzvah of Hakel to the Kohanim and to the Zakenim. Why to the Kohanim and to the Zakenim? Why not call all of Klal Yisrael together? Or just use the regular method of teaching small groups at a time. So apparently the Kohanim and the Zakenim are supposed to play an integral role in the reading of the Sefer Torah at Hakel, and that's hinted at in the Pasuk itself. Now it's interesting to contrast, this is what we saw last time, it's interesting to contrast this reading of the Svarno, where the Svarno has this idea that there is this unique Parshas HaMelech, a unique partial Sefer Torah, which the Melech would read from. It's interesting to contrast that with the end of the Sedra, where it says, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vahi kichalos Moshe lichtov es divrei HaTorah hazos al sefer ad tumam. It came to pass after Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing down the words of this Torah on the book ad tumam, till their very end. The two words ad tumam, till their very end, are somewhat ambiguous. He wrote down the whole Sefer Torah ad tumam, till the very end, as opposed to what? So the Svarno neatly contrasts this pasuk with the pasuk which we read a little bit earlier. Earlier we read, Vayichtov Moshe HaTorah Hazos. He wrote down this Torah. And here he's writing down HaTorah Hazos ad tumam, the Torah till its end. So apparently the Svarno understands we're talking about two different things. The first pasuk, as we said before, is talking about writing down a specific parsha of Hakel, a specific Sefer Torah that had only the Parshas HaMelech, and that's it. Here, in contrast, where it talks about writing down the whole Torah ad tumam, this actually refers to Moshe Rabbeinu writing down the entire Torah, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, before his passing. And the words, the ambiguous words, ad tumam, until their end, says the Svarno, means in Parshas Hazinu, Parshas Vezos HaBracha. Because the truth is, we haven't reached the end of the Torah. There's still two Parshios left, right? We still have more Shiurim to give. We're not done, right? So there's still Hazinu and Vezos HaBracha. So when it says ad tumam, until their end, the Pasuk is addressing the fact that how can you describe Moshe Rabbeinu writing down the Torah at this point? The Torah itself is not complete. No, so it means he's writing down what ultimately will be recorded in Hazinu and Vezos HaBracha. He's writing down the Torah, from Bereishis all the way to Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Then the Svarno elaborates on the succeeding psukim as follows. Vaitzav Moshe Salavim. So now, having written down the entire Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Levim, Nosei Aron Bris Hashem, those who carried the Aron, saying, Lokoach es Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, take this Sefer Torah, which now, again, is complete, V'samtem oso mitzad Aron Bris Hashem Elokeichem, and place it at the side of the Aron. Right? So, again, Rashi records the Gemara Bava Basra, exactly where it was placed relative to the Aron is a debate, but it was placed in the vicinity of the Aron, either inside the Aron, right outside of the Aron. V'hoya sham b'cha le'ed. And this Sefer Torah will be there for you for a witness. What does that mean? In what sense is the Sefer Torah going to serve as a witness? So here writes the Svarno as follows. Yo'id, shiyodati shetazvu as Torah sakel yisparach. Unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, I know that there will come a time where you will abandon the Torah. That's the next pasuk. Ki anochi yodati es mericha, v'yes arpecha akosha. I know your rebellious nature, I know your stiff neck. Hein ba'odenu chayim ochem ayom mamrim hayisem im Hashem. I know that you were rebels against Hashem even during my lifetime. V'af ki achrei mosi. And one can only imagine that that after I die, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that you'll continue having that rebellious streak. So I know that you're going to leave the path of Torah. So b'shvil zeh hutzrachti losim sefer Torah echad b'mbakom shlo yikane sham adam zulasi kohen gadol achas bashana. Because I know that the day will come where you, the Jewish people, will abandon the Torah, I feel compelled, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that there should be at least one Sefer Torah in a place that's normally off limits. You have to wonder, what's the point of putting a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKodashim by the Aron? It's not like it's public access. You know, it's not like it's a lending library. You know, you'll go in whenever you want. The Kodesh HaKodashim is accessible to one person one day a year. Seems like a very odd place to put a Sefer Torah. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, no, I'm doing that deliberately. That it should be a place which is typically off limits. V'yo'id zeh ha-sefer shekol ma she'imotzei kosov b'sefer ha-torah she'imotzu b'yad tzadikei hador hein ha-dvarim shenemru lo l'moshe mi-sinai b'li tosefes v'chisoro. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you know why I want to put a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKodoshim? I want it under lock and key. Because there's certainly going to be Sifrei Torah that are going to proliferate within Klal Yisrael. But as the generations veer from the path of Torah, there will be inevitably people who will charge, who will claim that the Sifrei Torah, which everybody has in Klal Yisrael, what they call today fake news. You know, the Zakenim made it up. They added passages. They deleted passages. You know, it's not the real Sefer Torah. So there should be a Sefer Torah, says Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, that nobody ever enters, that we know is essentially untouched. You know, in order for it to be touched, the Kohen Gadol would have to have done something to modify it, you know, during the few minutes that he's in the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom HaKippurim. Certainly not that likely. The Sefer Torah that's in the Kodesh HaKodashim is preserved. It's under lock and key. So now if it ever happens at some future point in time, that people not only veer from Torah, but they challenge the veracity and the authenticity of the Sifrei Torah, which they possess in their hands, there always be that backup copy in the Kodesh HaKodashim, which we know is untouched, which we can bring out and use to show that the Sifrei Torah that we have are not changed, they haven't been added to, they haven't been subtracted from, they represent, you know, an authentic presentation of the Dvar Hashem. No, so okay, so the Kohen Gadol will go in once a year, right? So, I guess under those circumstances, the Kohen Gadol would be entitled to take the Sefer Torah out of the Kodesh HaKodashim and to bring it out and to show people, you know, that this is what it says. You know, but the idea is there should be this preserved, you know, this backup, is the hard drive, so to speak, of the Sefer Torah, so that, you know, if there are any questions, anyone ever wants to question the authenticity of the Sefer Torah that are in Klal Yisrael, you know, there'll be a proof, as much as one can prove anything, there'll be a proof in the Kodesh HaKodashim that this is accurate. Uvozeh lo yivaled safek lochem aleihem. And this way, you won't have any doubts about the veracity of the Sefer Torah. That's the reason the Sefer Torah is there by the side of the Aron. Otherwise, it's hard to understand what that Sefer Torah is accomplishing. It's dafka in a place which is totally inaccessible. Who's going to learn from that Sefer Torah? Who's going to use that Sefer Torah? Right? But says the Sfarno, that's exactly the point. It should be dafka, inaccessible, because this way you can prove the veracity of the Torah itself. Right. It's an excellent point. It's also a deterrent, right? In other words, you know, it's hard to try to fake stuff if you know the real deal is somewhere, you know, that can always be pulled out. It's not so accessible, but it's semi-accessible and can be pulled out and shown the falsehood of what you're saying. Yeah. The assumption, in other words, you're saying at some point would they ever have to replace that Sefer? I guess if it came to that, if it became possible, but the truth is, you know, it seems like it was preserved. Yeah, I don't know, but it seems like it was preserved. It seems like maybe that was one of the Nissim, you know, the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash, that it stayed intact. No, so it stays there. It's under lock and key, you know, it's there. Again, it says the Sfarno to be a proof of the veracity of the Sefer Torah. Then he adds the following: Omnom haSefer shematzah Chilkiyahu nira shahoya haSefer shenosan Moshe el haKohanim nosei Aron bris Hashem shehuzkar lemalo shahoya parshas haMelech bilvad. Now, there's a famous incident related in Sefer Melachim that when they were doing some work in the Beis HaMikdash during the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Chilkiyahu, the Kohen Gadol, discovered a Sefer Torah brought it to Yoshiyahu. They read from that Sefer Torah, according to Chazal, they read the Parsha of the Tochacha. It opened up automatically to the Parsha of the Tochacha. And Yoshiyahu HaMelech realized the Jews are in very, very deep trouble. We violated all of these things that are outlined in the Sefer Torah. And Rachmana Litzlan, terrible things are going to happen to us. And indeed, you know, that's when it was predicted. The Jews began to realize that they were slated for Galus. Which Sefer Torah was that? What was the Sefer Torah that they found in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Sfarno suggests it was not this Sefer Torah which was in the Kodesh HaKodashim, but rather it was the first, quote-unquote, Sefer Torah that we spoke about tonight. The Sefer Torah, or the non-Sefer Torah, which was the Parshas HaMelech, which was stored in the Beis HaMikdash. That, we pointed out, was not a full Sefer Torah. There was really mostly Sefer Dvarim. But that's what they found, he writes. Okay, so again, so the Sfarno is suggesting the following. He's suggesting something a little different. He's saying, Uvol kosav Yoshua habris shechideish Yisrael b'shchem shekiblu aleim bo lavodes hakel yis'ala be'emes uvisomim shehu be'iyun uvamaisa. When Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, writes the Sfarno, he took the Parshas HaMelech, the special klaf, the special parchment, which was read by the Melech by Hakel, and he made an addendum to it. You can't make an addendum to a regular Sefer Torah, but this wasn't quite a Sefer Torah. This was a special klaf that was used by the Melech. Yehoshua added in a description of the covenant that Klal Yisrael made with the Ribono Shel Olam when they came into Eretz Yisrael, when they came into Shechem. And it spoke about all of the blessings and curses that they were taking upon themselves at that time. Ukshakarabo Yoshiyahu Viro Shirachakum Ikoze Chorad Vidarash Hashem al Zos. And that's why this klaf had such an impact on Yoshiyahu HaMelech. If you understand that Yoshiyahu found the Sefer Torah, so again, Chazal tell us it opened up to the brachos and klalos to the Tochacha, so I understand how he was impacted upon by it. But you find a Sefer Torah, you open it up randomly. All right, maybe he read about the story of Yosef HaTzadik. I mean, like, how do we know that he found something which impacted upon him so strongly? That's the Sfarno suggests, that he found this special Sefer Torah. Again, the special Sefer Torah of the Melech was focused on the Brachos and Klalos, the Tochacha and Dvarim, and it had this additional material that Yehoshua had written down to concretize the covenant that Klal Yisrael had made with the Ribono Shel Olam at Shechem. And all of that impacted upon Yoshiyahu, because he said, we've abandoned, unfortunately, the bris that we had made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rachmana Litzlan, if we abandon the bris, who knows what's going to happen to us. That's why he was so frightened when he saw Davka, this particular quasi-Sefer Torah, the Parsha of the Melech. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Yisrael, Lefikach, Yirvo Lahem,